this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior. It is really a privilege to speak to all of you. Those of you who don't know me, I'm Janetta. I'm Philip's wife. And I'm going to talk, I think this whole week, relationship week, we've been talking a lot about romantic relationships. Tonight, I'm going to be speaking about all kinds of relationships, something that I hope all of us can learn something from. But before I do that, Sean tried earlier, but I would like to see how many of you enjoyed relationship week. Can I get a... That's a good response. Yeah, I'm glad to hear that. Now, before we carry on, let me pray. Father, I thank you that we can come together like this in a relationship week and learn about your ways. Thank you, Father, that you are so faithful to teach us and equip us to do life according to your standards. Father, I ask that you will come and do something in our hearts today as we look at these relationships, and let your will be done through what I say. Let your Spirit breathe life on words that we might already know well and change the way we live our relationships. Let your name be glorified. Amen. Okay, so I'm going to be talking about the space between us. Now, how do you like my space? That's it, space. So having a space, I think if you think just off the top of your head, what word can we put in there? The space between us. I hope you think love. Me. Were you thinking love or not? Other words. Okay, the space between us. Let me just, before I start, this thing has been sitting in my mind for a very long time because I listen to how people talk and I listen to how people experience relationships. And most of the times this word just jump out of me and think, this is very silly. And that's sort of where this thing started in my head, that between you and me there's a space, and something is going to fill that space. But now I'm talking nonsense. Let me focus again. I've titled this The Space Between Us, and it's really, we're going to be talking about relationships, because life is about relationships. We have relationships in church, our small groups, our families, work, everywhere we go, it's all about relationships. And that saying about no man is an island, you really can't live in seclusion. We need relationships. And let's just, as a foundation, look at where relationships started from. We know that, I'm going to read the verse first. The Lord has appeared to me saying, yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you to me. This is a beautiful scripture, and the Bible is full of them. First and foremostly, God created us to have a relationship with him. That's the essence of it all. Everything starts with us knowing that God created us to have a relationship with him. I love in Genesis how our scripture talks about how Adam walked in the garden with God. That was before the fall. And I think how amazing would that be to have that kind of relationship with God, that I could physically walk with him and know that he's here. That's what they had before the fall. And God is still desiring for us to be in that relationship. The next, well, just before I carry on, I want to say the purpose of all relationships come from this. The purpose of everything we do in life is to glorify God. The purpose of all relationships is to glorify God. Then secondly, the Lord created us for relationships with significant friendships. I'm going to call it that for tonight, okay? But let me read this. Then the Lord God said, it's not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper to fit him. Now that verse refers to a husband and a wife, a spouse. But I'm going to talk about significant relationships. Because significant relationships is something that's hard work. It's something that's vital for all of us. There's lots of relationships, and we'll get to that, in our lives. But this relationship, the significant people in your life, they need only be two or three. You don't need to have 10 or 15 or whatever. Then you only have to have this friend or this few friends that sticks closer to a brother. Good friends. They speak into your life. They know you. They see you at your worst. They know what's going on. These are people that can hold you accountable when stuff really goes wrong. They are close to you. And I want to stress this because this kind of relationships is hard work. I often say that I think we live in a fast food society where if I don't like the way I look on Facebook, I can Photoshop myself and I can change it. And I can, if I don't like what's happening in my social world on Cyberword, I can change the whole thing tomorrow. I can decide this is the way I am now, change my career. People change their careers in general 5 times in a lifetime now. So we are living in a lifestyle where we swap and change things very quickly. If I'm not happy with my life, I can move to a different country and start a completely new identity. We live in this country where people change a lot and we are scared of commitment. But this kind of relationship does not, it's not alive. It doesn't exist in that culture where we cannot commit. We need to be able to commit and to realize that this relationship is hard work and we're not always going to agree. I'm going to get offended with you, but you know what? I value this relationship, so we are going to get through this. I'm going to commit. This can be to a friend or when you're married, to your spouse. Okay, the next one. God made us for fellowship. It says in the New Testament, so continually daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of the heart, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. God created us for relationship with each other. Now, Sean spoke about that in the offering as well. It's horizontal relationships. We need to be in relationship with each other. But it's not easy, me. I think most of you can say that I have been angry with a friend or, you know, we've had, in our close relationships, we have broken hearts because our friends can hurt us. But then there's other people that I don't know randomly who can really ruin my day. You know, the driver in front of me. Life is full of relationships. Everything is relationships. Okay, I've drawn up this illustration. This is my own thing. Okay, now before I carry on with this, I'm going to share my testimony. Okay, just a bit of it. When I was in high school and even through varsity, I really suffered from social phobia. I was so scared of people. My sister's sitting there and she can testify to this, that she would tell me, Janeta, and this was before I was really saved, but they were saved, so we didn't do bad things. But they would tell me, Janeta, we're going clubbing on Saturday night. And this was Monday. And she'd say, Janeta, we're going on Saturday. Are you okay? I'm like, no, I'm not going. And then on Tuesday, she'll say, we're going on Saturday and you are coming with. Are you okay with it? No. Wednesday, Janeta, we're going out on Saturday and you are coming with. And that's how she had to prepare me in my mind for on Saturday, I'm going to enter into a space that I don't know with people who are going to look at me. And somehow that freaked me out. I had everything in my life was gripped by fear. For me to do this would not happen. No. Even I think if somebody from my school years would come now and see me speaking in front of a lot of people, they would say, no, that's not Janeta. She couldn't even speak to us during breaks. Why would she speak in front of people? You know, she couldn't do an oral exam. And I think about when I was at varsity and I would do, I studied occupational therapy and then we would have to do these case representations where you speak in front of a panel and you tell them what's wrong with your patient and what am I going to do and what big thing. That freaked me out. It was terrible, really terrible. So I lived in this life of fear. And the reason why I'm sharing this is because life is about relationships. If you're standing and you can identify with what I'm sharing, then I really want to invite you and say, come, let me pray with you. Because God wants to work through you. Life is about relationships. If I want to touch your life, if I want you to meet Jesus, if I want to help you get over some obstacle in your life, I need to have a relationship with you. But if I'm too scared, in my case, that was the case, I was too scared to engage with people, God can't use me. So my fear is getting into this place where God actually wants me to do something for him. That's not the way he created us. So I just want to say again, if you can identify with any kind of social fear, then please come let me pray with you and let God break that he can work through you. Now, in those years when I was recovering, I drew up this little thingy for myself because I thought I need to understand people. And this is what I thought, and I still like it. In the center of it all is God. That is your core. There's nothing else that comes there. God is your go-to guy. He's God, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit. That's where you go when any emotional, anything is in your heart. That's where you go. I think sometimes, and you'll understand this as I go, But sometimes we experience things in our life and we share it on Facebook. No. That's a boundary overstepping sometimes with some of the stuff that I see on Facebook, because that thing that you just shared should have been there with God. You should have gone to God and said, Lord, that person offended me today. I'm going to forgive them. I'm going to release them. Now I'm a mature person. If I can do that, I grow in maturity. But if I go and I share it for the whole world to see in a circle where it doesn't belong, then I'm overstepping that boundary. You can go back to the slide now when I've done this one. Because God says, guard your heart with all diligence. It's the wellspring of life. And for us to understand that, we need to understand a little bit of the circle. The things that happen with God, and even in my marriage, there's stuff that I share with God way before I share it with Philip. You know, Philip is in my next group. He's the close. He's the next, you know, my spouse. He should be there. But in the same time, I also have a good friend. She lives very far. Your close friends do not need to be next to you. They need to just be available. A good friend that knows you and that knows everything of you. We need to go to God first and sort out what we need to pray it through. Forgive people. See what the Holy Spirit leads you with that thing that happened in your life. And only then can you filter it out to the rest of the circles. To your close group. Close group is your good friends. Now, like I've said, they need not be many. They can be one or two. Then friends. I think most of us have a lot of friends, people you know. You spend time with them, you know them. But they don't know all the stuff that you will share with your close group. And they definitely don't know all the stuff you share with God. And then on the other side, you've got acquaintances. Now, these are people you know, but you really don't know them well. So you'll say, hello, how are you? Goodbye. That's an acquaintance. Now, if I put something on Facebook or on Twitter, I'm just wanting to use this as an illustration, then I'm actually putting it in that circle, especially Twitter. Anybody can read your Twitter. So you can put stuff up there for any of those circles to see. And before you go there, you should think, okay, have I dealt with this in my heart? Because linking with that is getting offended. People giving you words. People doing things to you that hurt you. For instance, somebody in church can come and give you a word, and it hurts. They can say something about, oh, God says you are going to do this. I'm like, okay. And then you get angry and offended, and you get angry with church, and you leave because all Christians are whatever. Or you go to God, and you say, Lord, somebody gave me this word. Come, Holy Spirit, talk with me. Is this thing from you? No, it's not. Okay, I forgive that person. I pray that they grow up in maturity, not to just hand out words that hurt people. I bless them, and I carry on with my life. That's maturity, to grow in. The same way, if somebody gives you a word or tells you something that hurts you, to go to God and to go to your close friends because they know you. And then you say, this happened now. Pray with me. Let's just hear what God says. Okay, it wasn't a good thing. I'll pray with you. We forgive the person. And you walk away healed. You don't walk away bitter. And then that's what you show the rest of the world. And with this, I actually want to ask a question. Sometimes we don't go to God. And then we give the world, we give the acquaintances and everybody, we give them a crazy picture of I'm losing it. And if we are testifying to God's glory, for us to testify to God's glory, we need to go to God first for him to do the healing, so that what we testify to others is a testimony of what happened. Not I'm so whatever. Testify. God did this in my life. I was messed up. I did this. What? Testify. It's a different place of speech. Does that make sense? You speak about what God has already done. And especially to the world and acquaintances, because you want them to see this good God you have. And he's keeping me together because I am a sinner. Okay, now I laid this as a foundation just for where I'm heading with this thing. Just really to illustrate that relationships cause different boundaries. They have different boundaries, and we sometimes need to realize where the boundaries lie. Together with that, they have different expectations. I'm not going to expect the same kind of fellowship or intimacy, if you understand, in a good way, not the other way, with all those circles. You share different information with different people, and you have different expectations of different people. And together with that is an authority. We give people in our lives a platform to speak into our lives. Now, we need to choose them wisely. If you can skip a slide and go to the authority. We need to choose our friends wisely because I can't find it. Let me read them. Here it is. The righteous choose their friends carefully, but the way of the wicked leads them astray. That close circle that I was talking about, who are you letting in there? Because the wicked leads us astray. And we can talk about this a lot, but we know that iron shapes iron. You know, that, am I saying it right? Iron sharpens iron, so man sharpens the countenance of his friend. Those close people, anybody can shape you. That's part of relationship. But those close people are really shaping your character. Who are you letting in there? One who has unreliable friends soon come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer to a brother. Just choose your friends wisely. And with this, I want to also say that small groups is a very special place for this kind of thing to happen. Your small group friends might not automatically be your close friends, but they are a place, they are a safe place where you can grow with these people and you can learn and you can pray together about things going on in your life. So a small group is definitely an important important factor in a Christian's life, in the walk of fellowship. Okay, now having gone through this whole the whole thing that I've just shared, are you still with me? Okay, now I'm getting to the good stuff. We know that we're created for relationships. And if we had to say, okay, what guideline does Scripture give for how to make it work, because it's hard, then I'll say go read Matthew 22, where Jesus says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is, love your neighbor as yourself. All the law finds fulfillment in this. Yeah, that is the right. I'm just rephrasing. These two commandments, it's the basis of all relationships. Like I said earlier, firstly, we were created for the relationship with God. Everything starts in that. And secondly, we have people around us. How do we do this? Love your neighbor as yourself. But it's hard. We all make mistakes and we all get offended and we all get hurt and relationships break and communication is very fragile because I am an emotional communicator and my husband is a rational communicator. Do you guys know this thing? That the emotional communicator, which is often the goal, but it's not always, talks like a smoothie. And the rational communicator, which is often the guy, but not always, talks like a fruit salad. So the rational communicator can look at the fruit salad and say, oh, there's your problem. This is a kiwi, this is a banana, this is a whatever. They can dissect the fruit salad. The emotional communicator blends a smoothie. So somewhere in there was a banana and somewhere in there, but I can't see it anymore because emotions are involved. And if you understand this, then it just makes communication with sometimes the opposite sex really a little bit easier to understand, that for the smoothie, they go through a process of elimination and communicating out loud to dissect the smoothie. And the rational communicator sees this is the problem, it's done, let's go. They see things very black and white. And it's not right or wrong. It's just to help each other understand. This is how you talk. This is how I talk. Where was I going with that? Relationships are hard. And there are skills that we can learn to make relationships better. The space between us should be the grace between us. I've often listened to people who get offended and who get hurt. And all I want to say to them is, where's the grace? There's a person here, a person we're communicating. Where's the grace? Because this thing can work if we have grace here. It starts with love. Everything starts with love. If we look at love and if we look at grace, then there are differences. But love and grace, if we truly understand these two words, are bigger than differences. So I can say that I don't agree with what you say, or you come from a different culture, or we have different skin colors, or we have different, relationships, whatever. We have different. We are made different, and that's fine, that's perfect, that's how God wanted it to be. But when love and grace is present, then these differences do not become obstacles, because I love you more than this difference. I want to get to know you more than this difference. And that is really important for fellowship, for where we are in church, to say that this person is with me in cell group. I don't always like the way they talk. They talk a lot of smoothies, and I don't get it. And they've got a different culture, I don't understand. Then the good thing to do is to say, listen, I am different from you, but I love you because we are brothers and sisters in Christ. Tell me about your world. I want to get to know you. you're different from me. But grace is going to be between us. So instead of us assuming things because we're different, because assumption is a killer in relationships. In a marriage, I can say that if you start assuming things your husband says or assuming things, you know, he said that with that look, so that's what it meant. You don't do that. You speak in truth. You want to know what's on the table. We speak in truth. So you don't make assumptions. And the same thing, we can use cultures. We can use a lot of stuff to make assumptions from this person. But get to know that person. What's really going on there? Okay. And love covers that. Does loving one another say accepting, you must accept me exactly as I am? No. And I'll get to that, because if you really love somebody, then you will realize that there are things in me that need to change. And I'm not gonna, what's the word, judge you, or I'm not gonna condemn you. I'm gonna love you. I'm gonna accept you as you are, but I'm gonna love you that God can change this stuff. Okay. Does that make sense? You with me there? But I'll get to that a little bit more later. Does fellowship mean that we must be the same? No, that would be really boring. If I had to marry myself, it would be boring. I would drive myself mad. So, no, fellowship does not mean we need to be the same. On the contrary, God brings different people to the table because we become a team. And in teamwork, we do amazing stuff. But for teamwork to work, we need to have grace with each other. Grace that you can be wrong. Grace that I can be wrong. Grace when we communicate, and this is the stuff we're looking at tonight. The foundation of all of this is that we know everything is to glorify God. So the place that we're going, the goal, the thing that we are heading towards is to glorify God. And then the little stuff finds, sometimes it filters away, because the purpose is bigger than me and the purpose is bigger than you. God has given us something to do. So what is grace? Grace is an undeserved pardon for the wrongs that you do. Let that sink in. Undeserved pardon for what you do wrong. So in other words, I really, help me think of an example. Now I can't. You really constantly hurt somebody and that person keeps on forgiving you. That's grace. The flip side would be, you are hurting me, all men are the same, and I'm going to just leave. But I'm talking about a married relationship now, because dating is different. Undeserved pardon for your wrongs. What is grace? It's also a supernatural gift that God gives us to do his will. Because if I have to be honest, and we have to be honest, I'm a sinner, we're all sinners, I can't do this in my own. But God promises in his word that he gives us a supernatural grace that carries us to do his will. It's not in us. And it's there for us to take. Because, you know, God gives you that. We are saved. So we know all these things about the law of love, and we know all these things. But when the moment come that you want to lose your temper, or when the moment come when you want to get offended, or when you want to manipulate, in that moment you have to choose not to do it. Me? We have to choose. I mean, I've got a habit of manipulating people. I'm going to choose to change this, because in love it doesn't belong. It needs humility. There's no place for pride. In any kind, if I communicate in the way that I am always right and you are always wrong, and you know, if you communicate in a way of proud, you know, this is the way it is, there's no place. Love can't be there. We need to be in humility. It requires forgiveness over and 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 some more and some more. Forgiveness is over and over. And judging yourself soberly. I'll get to that. Okay, so the next few slides that we'll be looking at are some practical tips of how do we make this grace practical in our lives. The first one is give freely. And I want to read, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. And it's not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Freely you have received, freely you give." We have all received the pardon from God for our sins through Jesus freely. We didn't do anything to deserve it. We have all received grace from God freely. We cannot withhold it from anybody because I don't like you, or I don't like the way you communicate, or I don't like the way you dress, or today I just don't feel like it. We cannot withhold it from anybody. We need to give grace. We need to choose to cover. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. This is so true in any significant relationship, especially in your marriage, because you do make mistakes. You're a sinner and you're going to be married to a sinner. Ne? That's the way it is. So you're going to make mistakes. You're going to hurt each other. But love covers a multitude of sins. It's a heart thing. It's a choice thing. This could be a sermon on its own, but I'm going to end it there. And the next one is, and I have to do this. Mine. Where does that come from? Finding Nemo. Okay. I have children. We watch these movies over and over and over. The reason why I've chose, it's a bit of a stretch to get to where I want to go, but the reason why I titled it like that is because those seagulls claim everything as theirs. Mine. And sometimes we just need to actually do it with ourselves. This is my sin, because you hypocrite. First take out the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. We are sinners. We do things wrong. I know in part. If I tell you something that God is teaching me, then this is what I understand now. So there should be grace for growing. If I give you a word, I could be wrong. There should be grace for somebody to be wrong. You could be right. That's why we pray. That's why we take these things to God and to our close friends to pray with them to see if it's true. That's why we have community. That's why we have fellowship, because we need to do this together. But we are often very easy. You know, we see the faults in other people, and we need to know that, okay, I also have faults, especially in relationships like with your spouse. If I think he's the one that does everything wrong, then the relationship's not going to last very long. I have to also realize that if I do this, then I hurt him. And then with that comes the place of being humble to want to change. Because if I love somebody, then I do not want to hurt them. I would want to change. A silly, silly, silly example that I'm going to use is when we got married, I used to be the kind of person that that always, whoops, what was that? Loud. Okay, let me go again. When we got married, I used to be the person who I couldn't sleep if the dishes were not clean, honestly. Then we had people over, like 40 students for a pancake evening, and I can't sleep because the dishes aren't done. And then Philip said to me, Anetta, please just leave the dishes. We can do them tomorrow, but I physically cannot sleep if I think the kitchen is dirty. It needs to be clean. And for our relationship, I learned it is a good thing for me to leave the dishes and rather go sit on the couch and watch Planet Earth with Philip. It's good for our relationship. He likes it if I do that, and it's good for us. So I change. I don't wash the dishes anymore. We have a dishwasher. In relationship, we choose. We choose to not do stuff to hurt the other person. If there's something I'm constantly doing that's hurting Philip, and he says, Janetta, please stop doing that, then I will be very proud and arrogant, if I say, no, I'm not going to change because this is how I am. That is not good for any relationship. But the place is there to walk humbly and to say, in love, I'm willing to change. I'm willing to lay this down because we are going somewhere better. I am not that important. The purpose for us is that important, if that makes sense. It's the same with our relationship with God, that if we are continuously sinning, then we are hurting our relationship with God. Sin hurts people. That's why God instituted it, don't do it. Somebody explained to me once as, don't see sin as a don't do it, but rather see sin as when God says that is sin as a, it's hurting you. It's hurting people you love. That's why God wants it out. And we need to understand that about sin in relationships. Until we understand that sin in the relationship, or sin that I'm doing in the relationship, it could be anger, it could be manipulation, it could be lots of stuff, that you can do in a relationship that hurts people. And as I carry on in this, I'm hurting my spouse, I'm hurting my friends, I'm hurting my church, I'm hurting the circle, because I'm walking in a place of disobedience to God. The scripture up there, what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? this is a scripture I think people sometimes use to hide behind, to say, but this is who I am. God made me this. This is who I am. I am a realistic person. That's why I talk like this all the time. I tell you all the stuff that's wrong because I'm realistic. This is who I am. I'm a melancholic person. So I do get depressed, and this is who I am. Accept me. Or I get angry. This is who I am. Accept me. I have one question for you. That thing that you claim as this is who I am, is it glorifying God? Because if it's not glorifying God, then God wants to heal it to glorify him. For me, I walked in fear. And I could say, no, but I'm a nervous person. I'm a scared person. But if I stayed in that place, I would never have been able to marry Philip because he's got a lot of people in his life. It would have freaked me out. I would have never been able to actually be in fellowship with people, to do this, to teach at Bible school, to just talk in a small group. We can't say that that thing of this is just the way I am if it's not glorifying God. You know, God wants to heal it. And that should be the reason why we should want to stop doing it. Because I'm hurting people. I'm hurting myself. And just a little bit on Sinia, if a person struggles with masturbation, with pornography, or with smoking, or that kind of stuff, and you struggle to stop, then maybe you should ask yourself, do I really want to stop? Do I really believe that this thing I'm doing is hurting myself, it's hurting my spouse, or it's going to hurt my spouse? Masturbation is going to hurt your spouse. It's going to hurt your sexual relationship. Or it's going to, you know, is it hurting somebody? Because then when you understand that, then you want to step away from it and say, Lord, you've got a better plan for a relationship. So I'm willing to leave the sin behind. I'm willing to change. The next one I've got up there is speaking with grace. One who loves a pure heart and who speaks with grace will have a king for a friend. Now, I would like having a king for a friend. Imagine that, helicopters. I'm talking nonsense. But let me just read the other one as well. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer one another. Our speech is so very important. You know, people who are negative, and I used to be a very negative person, you don't always understand how you're affecting people, but you're creating an atmosphere. If I start the day in a bad mood, then by the end of the day, I would be in a really bad mood because you're speaking it. You know, everything is bugging you. Everything is bad. And here some people tell me, no, but I'm just realistic. And I actually want to challenge you on that and say, if you were really realistic, then God is bigger than that problem. So speak in a way that this problem will glorify God. Speak in a way that the state of everything that's bringing you down, that you bring across the fact that God is bigger than this. Glorify God with your mouth. Speak life in relationships. And this is so important when we are giving correction to each other, when we're receiving correction, when we are arguing, to speak life. It's a choice. I'm not going to put you down. I'm not going to hurt you with my words. I'm going to uplift you. I'm going to try and find a way for us to get to a better friendship, to get to a better relationship through my words. Because God is really bigger than this. And on this, I really want to invite all the ladies. We are going to be watching Awaken, the Women's Conference DVDs. I think it's Saturday the 18th here in the hall. And we're going to be listening to, amongst other things, Hetty Brits's testimony. I don't know who of you know what happened to Hetty Brits. But she was raped. And she talks on the conference. She really tells the ladies what happened. And what got me about that whole, we were in the mother's room and the children were crying until Hetty started speaking. All the babies were silent. Because when Hetty was speaking, she was glorifying God in that thing. She was telling this horrible story. There's no beauty in that. There's nothing. But God carried her through it. And I can't explain. I can't tell you Hetty's story. But I can tell you that when you listen to that, you understand this thing. I can tell you something very bad, but I can glorify God because he is bigger. And that's a choice in your words. And that's a choice in how we do relationships. And then I want to end off with this. That's one of my favorite scriptures. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. I remember I was in a traditional church, and in the traditional churches, they would end every sermon with this. And I would go to church sometimes just to hear it. I would think, oh, just get to the end. Yes, I like that. And when I was preparing for this, I thought, why do I love the scripture so much? And the answer is simple, because it's so powerful. We're talking about grace. We're talking about love. We're talking about life, relationships. That's life. But we cannot do it without the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to know Jesus. We cannot do it without knowing the love of God. He is bigger than anything life can throw at you. And the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, because he is with you, guiding you, talking to you. This thing that we've been talking about, relationships, people do it without God, yes. But if you do it with God, there's a new world that God wants to show you in how he does relationship, in how he defines relationship, in purpose that he brings into relationship. And it can only be done if we want to follow this. Love and grace go hand in hand. We can't separate them. They really go together. So I've been talking a lot now. And before I end off, I really want to say Philip's going to come and take over now. But if you do not know, if I've been talking about Jesus a lot and I've been talking about the Holy Spirit as a partner, if you do not know who this Jesus is or experience the Holy Spirit like I'm talking about him in relationships, telling you things, because he's really powerful. Just a testimony there. God talks in the Bible about submitting to your husband. Me? I used to be very independent, very, very independent. We got married late. And before we got married at 28 or something. And before we got married, I have managed very well to do a life for myself. You know, I was very independent to do that thing. And getting married, and now God says, submit to your husband. I was like, oh, okay, I'll be obedient because that's what God says. And then one of those things that for me, that was always inherent, was to fight. So if somebody would tell me something I don't agree with, I will fight you because I will stand up for myself. That's nothing, man. It doesn't come there because it's not good. And in the relationship with God, the Holy Spirit challenged me on this. He said, Philip is doing something you do not agree with. Come talk to me. I will talk to him because I am real. God, the Holy Spirit, Father, is real. And in relationships, he's real. And that taught me that I can go to God and say, Lord, Philip did this now and I'm unhappy. Please speak to him. And he came to me and he said, Janetta, you know that thing that happened earlier? I'm sorry, it was wrong. What? God is real and we need to almost invite him in this to see sometimes for ourselves that he is real. Okay, because he's really real. And he's calling us for relationships. And he's calling us for relationships that glorify him. So these principles tonight, I'm just going to quickly recap before I end. Give freely. We need to give because we've received freely. Choose to cover everything in love. We should have a wanting. I want to change because I know it's better for us. Speaking with grace, changing your atmosphere because of the words that you choose, because everything is a choice. You know, what you let out of your mouth is a choice. And and then just know this, the last slide. May the grace of God, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. And with this, I would just like to pray and then Philip will come over and take over from me. Father, I want to thank you for a very special time in your presence. And Lord, and just reminding us about two words that we hear often, but sometimes they lose their meaning completely. Father, I ask that you will come and restore in us, in our hearts and in our minds and in our lives, an understanding of grace and of love to really live relationships that are glorifying you, Lord. Thank you, God, that we know you are faithful and that you know you are in relationships and that we can ask you to come and teach us these things in our life. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Speak, you give power to the weak, you raise dead men to their feet, you are strong, Lord.
Thank you for listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church. We believe that it was time well spent establishing God's kingdom and proclaiming his glory in your life. For more information, call us on 012-362-1363 or email us at pretoria@shofaronline.org. You may also wish to browse our website at www.shofaronline.org or find us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria.